Take your Bibles, please, if you would, and let's turn to John 14, Gospel of John chapter 14. For those who are visiting, we are currently in a sermon series on the upper room discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples slash apostles, here recorded in John chapter 13 through chapter 16. And this morning, we are in beginning of chapter 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially, as we said earlier, the first six verses. So just before we launch into this, just a little bit of background and review so that we have an understanding of what Jesus is talking about here in these verses in chapter 14. In the last few verses of chapter 13, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Jesus has announced his departure. He told his disciples that he was going away and that none of them would be able to go with him at that particular time. We thought, as we try to put ourselves in the shoes of the apostles and disciples, that that would have made them very sad. They've been with Jesus for 3 years now, serving with him, watching him, listening to him do the miracles that he did. And now he's telling them that he's going away and that they can't follow him. They can't go with him. And so we note that that would have made very sad feelings for them. Not just that Jesus was going away, but that they wouldn't be able to go with him. From other scriptures here in the Gospels, we know that all Jesus' disciples will indeed go to be with him at some point in time. It's just that they couldn't go with him at this time. And we will be with the Lord, we know, either through physical death or at the time of his return to rapture the church. We know that we will be with him then. But at this point with his disciples, he's saying, I'm going away. You can't come with me right now. He'll explain a little bit more once we get into what he says to Peter in just a second. Also, keep in mind that Judas Iscariot has already left the room. Jesus is speaking to the 11 disciples that are left. In light of his statement, I'm going away. You can't come with me right now. Jesus gave them a new commandment. You see this in chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then he explained in the next verse the importance of this commandment and for them to follow it. Verse 35, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so we understand that their love, this is the apostles, he's speaking to them, so the initial interpretation is that they are to love one another. That new commandment has been given to them in particular, and that their love, Greek word agape, often translated in our King James Bibles with the word charity, because that's really what this love is. It's a giving of self for the well-being of another person with no thought of any return to ourselves. Their love for one another would be a true testimony and a witness to not only that they are Christ's disciples, but also that Jesus Christ is the true God, sovereign Savior and Lord of all. It's a very significant and important commandment that he has given to them. Of course, we also understand then that the apostles and prophets form the foundation for the church. We are built upon that foundation. Therefore, this new commandment is for us as well, to love one another. As Christ loved us, we ought to love one another. And then in the final few verses of chapter 13, we find the Apostle Peter asking Jesus why he could not go with him. It's a simple question and one we kind of would expect from Peter. Peter said that he would lay down his own life for Jesus' sake. Again, that's something we might expect from Peter. And upon that statement from Peter, Jesus told him this. In fact, he says, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows, before the rooster crows in the morning. Not one time, not twice, three times. You will deny me, he says to Peter, before the rooster crows. It's probably something that Peter didn't really want to hear, maybe not even expect to hear, especially after he had already offered the fact that he would die for the Lord Jesus if it came to that. And so, again, trying to put ourselves into Peter's sandals, we would certainly think that this would have filled him with great sorrow and sadness, and perhaps a few other emotions as well, to understand what Jesus said to him. And so now we come to chapter 14. And chapter 14, verse 1 says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. One thing to note here, and you are all aware of it here, Bereans, that the pronoun your is second person plural, right? He had just finished speaking with Peter, and you'll notice in verse 38 of chapter 13, Jesus says to him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? And we know that thou and thy is second person singular, because he's speaking directly to Peter. So now in his response to all of that, he uses the plural pronoun, which means he's talking to them all once again, the whole group. Let not your, plural, and what do you notice about the word heart? It's singular. So collectively, your heart, apostles, disciples of Christ, let not your heart be troubled. Ye, again plural, believe in God, believe also in me. So with this comforting word, Jesus begins to unfold some helps for them for a troubled heart. We expect that they are troubled, they're sad at the news that Jesus has just given them. And so he is going to help them to deal with that troubled heart. And so we think about even our lives today, that there are many things that cause trouble, right? Many things that cause us to have a troubled heart. We may get fearful of the world situation around us, what's going on in the world, all the wickedness and evil that is all around us. Perhaps there is troubled financially in a person's life and situation that's causing them a troubled heart. Maybe there's relationships that have gone wrong and are troubled as well. So we know that there are many things, even besides what Jesus said to his apostles, that can cause us to have a troubled heart. But no matter what that thing may be, there is a help for comfort from the Lord Jesus. He says, let not your heart be troubled. How are you going to do that? He explains and gives us some help in these few verses. So we ask the question, what's the cure for a troubled heart? What will ease an anxious mind? And in this passage, in the first six verses that we'll look at this morning, there are four helps that I would suggest to you for a troubled heart. Now, if you have been to any funeral services that we have conducted over the years, we often use John 14, 1 through 6 as a message to encourage folks in a troubled heart at the loss of a loved one. But we're going to kind of expand that a little bit more than just death of a loved one here this morning to whatever things may cause us some difficulties. Here are four helps for a troubled heart. Number one, the first help follows immediately after Jesus' comforting words when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Then he said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now that in our Bibles, that is a clear statement. Ye believe in God, from the Lord Jesus to his disciples. Some of the other versions that are out there, English versions, kind of put questions behind that statement. But here, in our translation, ye believe in God is a very clear-cut statement of truth and reality. And then he says, believe also in me. So the help for a troubled heart here in this first instance is to have a foundation of faith. Faith and trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ will give us peace of heart, mind, and rest in any situation that is causing us some difficulty and trouble. A foundation of faith. And you will notice here in this short statement by the Lord Jesus that he confirms the faith of his disciples in God himself. Ye believe in God, he said. And then he challenges them concerning belief in himself. Many people say that they believe in God, which is good, but we would say not good enough for eternity. One must also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. A lot of people will also say that they believe in God, but not in Jesus. They don't have any time for him, but just give me God because that's big and it's, you know, out there and there's not so much things personal about that. But if you start talking about believing in Jesus, that's very personal, and people don't want to do that. I watched a video clip the other day of a girl saying, basically, if God were to come down in full presence right here in front of me to prove his existence, she leaned into the camera and said, I will still not worship him. That reflects the spirit of the age in which we live. Even if God the Father came down and showed that he was real by his very physical presence, which would have to be a theophany, the world still will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hard heart and the blind eyes that the Bible talks about. And that's hard for any kind of witnessing or outreach or gospel evangelism. That's really hard to realize that that's where people are. It's only going to take the conviction of the Spirit of God working in the hearts and minds of those who do not believe and will not believe to make such a change in their thinking as to acknowledge the existence of God and faith in Jesus Christ. So he says, you believe in God, that's great, believe also in me. In James 2, verse 19, we read that James says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils acknowledge the existence of God, but they will not spend eternity in the presence of God, but rather in a place called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels, according to Matthew 25:41. So we would say that belief in God is important. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his presence all around us. Belief in God is important, but should lead us to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of the living God and Savior of the world, according to our Bibles. John recorded in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So faith and belief in Jesus Christ as one Savior from sin provides relief for a troubled heart. The Lord Jesus is bigger than any kind of thing that will cause us trouble. And so we need to trust in him to have relief from that troubled heart. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. He is the resurrected Savior of all mankind. He is the giver of eternal life. The scriptures call the Lord Jesus the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Just One, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when he says to them, and we apply that to our own situations, you believe in God, that's great, believe also in me, we have to make sure that we understand who the right Jesus is to believe in. The Apostle Paul warned about another Jesus that seemed to have taken hold on some of the believers in Corinth, for example. And so we need to be sure that we have our faith and trust in the biblical Jesus of who he is and not a false one. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, and you will not only be saved from the penalty and power of sin, you will find trouble. You will find comfort and help for your troubled heart. So that's number one. Number two, another help for a troubled heart is to know this. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. A place is being prepared for those who know the Lord, who love the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Now, Jesus is talking about eternity. He's talking about heaven. When he told them that he was going to be leaving them, he knew that he would be going back into heaven. And so he encourages them now, with them having a troubled heart at his departure, by saying, "I'm going away, and I'm going to be preparing a place for you, that where I am, you can be also," he will say in the next verse. Do you know what Jesus' trade for 30 years, the first 30 years of his life was? He was a carpenter working in his father's shop up in Nazareth. Guess what? He's continuing his trade even now in heaven, where he is building mansions for all of those who love him. And I look forward to seeing what he has built up there for myself. Of course, my background has been architectural technology. I love buildings, and certainly mansions are some of my favorite buildings to look at. I love looking at the house plans and stuff. So I'm interested. I have a house plan that I really would like the Lord to build up there for me. A mansion house plan, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. But he will prepare just the right place for each one of us. He says, "If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So whatever it is that may be troubling our hearts, to know that there is a place in glory for us who believe in the Lord Jesus can give us great comfort and help and strength to deal with that which is troubling us. Jesus told his disciples that he was going away. Now he tells them why. "I'm going away to prepare a place for you." He told Peter that Peter couldn't follow him then, but would follow him a little bit later on. And of course, that later on would be at Peter's death and his execution by the Roman government, because he was a Christian. But wouldn't it ease your troubled heart to know that there's a place prepared in heaven for you, that Jesus has gone there to do that, and he's just waiting for the time that you get there to inhabit the place that he has prepared? When you think about it, he hasn't really left us spiritually. He's left us physically 2,000 years ago when he ascended back into heaven, and I haven't seen him with my physical eyes yet, but one day we all will if we know Christ as Savior. But we do know that he's always with us, right? No, never alone. No, never alone. He's promised to, what is it? He's promised to never leave me, never to leave me alone. We just sang that a little bit. And so he has promised to be with us, even today, spiritually, but we look forward to the day that we will see him physically in glory. And that knowledge and understanding should help us and give great assurance for us in our lives today as we face many difficulties, perhaps, in our lives. He's always with us, but one day we will see him face to face. And what a day that will be when we see him. Thirdly, a help for a troubled heart here. The third thing that Jesus says is to be found in the reassuring words in verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Here we would suggest to you will be a reception by the Redeemer. A reception by the Redeemer. A welcome to our home in heaven. Now, we could talk about that little two-letter word, if. We could probably go quite some time. We don't have time to do that this morning. Let me just say, in verse 3, Jesus says, if I go. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying three times to his father and he said, Father, if let this cup pass from me, because he was facing the cross, all of the pain and the suffering that he would go through the nails of the cross, the crown of thorns in his head, the whippings, the beatings, the scourging. But even more than all of that was to bear our sins in his body on the tree and suffer the just wrath of God upon our sins, which have been put upon him. And Jesus is saying, please, let me, you know, if that's possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Here, as he's talking to his disciples, it seems that maybe there's a possibility that he won't go. But after Gethsemane, he was absolutely determined in his heart, in his mind, to do the will of God, which meant that he was going to the cross. And there was no question at all that that would take place. But here as he's talking, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So thank the Lord, the if has turned into a since. Since I am going away, I will prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. You know that. That's something we have believed in to be saved. He rose again the third day in a glorified physical body and ascended back into heaven with the promise to those who believe in him, I will return to gather you to myself and never leave you again. The return of Jesus Christ is the blessed hope of the Christian. But even more precious is the knowledge that at the death of a Christian, Jesus is right there to receive you to himself and carefully escort you into the place that he has prepared. Doctrinally and theologically, in verse 3, we often refer to the return of Christ when he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there might even be a hint of the rapture of the church in there as well. Certainly his second coming, even though he hasn't quite left yet. But when he would die and rise from the dead, ascend back into heaven, his promises to come back. But I kind of think that there's maybe another way to look at this. Not that that other way is wrong. I think that's true. But I think that perhaps even at the moment of physical death for those who believe in him, for Christians, that Jesus will be right there, as I said, to welcome you and to escort you into the home that he has prepared. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? We've had so many deaths and funeral services around this church over the years. Julie, don't you plan on doing anything soon? But just to think that at the moment they took their last breath on earth, Jesus was there to meet them and to welcome them into eternity and to escort them to glory and to heaven. I think that's a wonderful picture. And if we can get that in our hearts and in our minds, then certainly the difficulties that we may face, troubles in our heart, should be eased and calmed, knowing what the future is there for us. To be welcomed by waiting family and friends after you have been away for a long time is a very comforting experience, isn't it? How much more so when the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, welcomes us into the home that he has prepared for us. And the last help, number four, is found in verse 6. Actually, verse 4, 5, and 6, which says, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, so how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So here we have a help here that we'll call the highway to heaven. A highway to heaven. That highway to heaven is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus. So he's told them that he's going away, and then he says in verse 4, "Whither I go, you know. Where I'm going, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas, who's usually called Doubting Thomas, says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" All Jesus had told them in the previous chapter was that he was going away, but he didn't say where he was going. And so, you know, we say, "Thank you, Thomas. You've asked a question that would be in our minds as well. You verbalized it, and thank you for doing that." And Jesus gives the answer, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The hope for a troubled heart, whatever that may be, that thing is that's causing trouble, that hope is not to be found in material things, in religious observances, good deeds, giving to charities, giving to oneself or even to others, but it's only to be found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, achieved through faith in his name. And in a time of trouble, God has provided a way to help find the rest that we need for our hearts, the comfort and the peace. And that way is the Lord Jesus. That's why he said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." You need to believe in the Lord Jesus, we know, in order to be saved from our sins and have the hope of eternity in his very presence. But now we understand that faith in Christ, hope and belief in him, will also give us peace in our heart right now in the things that cause us trouble. They certainly are comforting words, aren't they? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Acts 4:12 says, "There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." The only name is the Lord Jesus. When the Philippian jailer, in Acts 16, said to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And so we know that belief and faith and trust in Christ is the means, the roadway, if you want, into God's very presence, into heaven, into eternity. So question is, do you believe in God, first of all? And do you believe what God has said? But more important than even that, do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin? Have you received him into your heart and life as Lord? I know most all of you have that are here this morning. We need to understand that comfort for a troubled heart requires the necessity of a foundation of faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. It requires of us knowledge about the preparation of a place that Jesus has gone to make for us, a mansion in heaven, and we look forward to that. That gives us assurance that we'll not be left alone, that there is a place waiting. And that knowledge will then put our troubles into perspective, and they won't seem as great as they might if we didn't have the understanding that we have a place in heaven that's prepared for us. We also need to await the reception of the Redeemer at whatever time that may be, whether our physical death or his return to rapture us at the church. How many opt for the rapture? Yeah, I think we all do, because that would be a most marvelous experience, not have to go through physical death like that. So when we realize that there's a Redeemer that we have that's going to come and take us to be with himself, again, that should put our troubles into perspective, and they should pale in comparison. And then the fourth one is the traveling the highway of highway to heaven by faith in Christ. So I ask, how's your heart today? How's your heart? Troubled by something? Is something keeping you down? Are you fearful of the future? There is help available for all of us here today. Right now, in fact, if we will humble ourselves before God, put our faith and trust in Christ, repent of our sins, believe God, and receive Christ into our heart. And if you have already done that, as believers in Christ now, we can trust him to help us in our daily lives, because he's never left us alone, and he is always there to help in these times of needs. So I hope that those four truths that we see in the first six verses of this chapter provide for you hope and rest, peace and comfort, and for any trouble that you all or we all might be facing. Just trust in the Lord Jesus, and he will help to see us through. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for, again, your word this morning through this upper room discourse as Jesus talks to his apostles and gives to them this very helpful teaching in these first six verses concerning a troubled heart and how to deal with it and how to find the comfort and help that is needful. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who saves us from our sins when we put our faith and trust in you. You are the one who has prepared a home in heaven for us. You are the one who will come and take us to yourself at the time either of our physical death or when you come to rapture your church, catch up your people to meet you in the clouds of the air. And we thank you that you have laid out this this map for us, a highway to heaven through thyself being the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you for that and for revealing it all to us and having it recorded in the pages of our scriptures. And we pray that you will, that each one here today will find that to be a help for them with whatever difficulty it is that they may be facing. Bless your word to our hearts this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.